Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for who you are, Lord, and I'm thankful that very early in my life that you laid a foundation in my life of Jesus Christ. And though I didn't understand it at the time, you've allowed me to build my life on that foundation. And so, Lord, I pray now that you would open up our hearts and our minds, that you would teach us what it is that you want us to know about your son, Jesus, and what a foundation he is. And Lord, I pray that we would get a big view of God and that we would put our feet upon the rock of Christ. Lord, there's no way that we can understand this on our own. It can only be done through the Holy Spirit. And so I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds and allow us to understand this. And Lord, I pray that it's just not understand it, but change us with it. Let us walk out these doors different. And if there's someone here that doesn't know who Jesus Christ is, has never laid the foundation of Christ in their life, I pray today that their hearts would be open to who he is and receive him. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at 9, verses 9 through 11 in that chapter. And the title of this morning's message is Foundations. I just wanted to say this, so here it goes. You ready? Foundations are foundational. I just wanted to sound like a politician for just a minute. Isn't that what they do? They say things like that are just so vague. You don't have no idea what they're saying. Foundations are foundationals. Foundations are what we build upon. It's something that we build upon. It is a groundwork that is laid down first before you can build anything on it. So when you look at it from that perspective, foundations are very important. Very important. In fact, without a solid foundation, you cannot build anything that is not enduring. If you want to build something big, you're going to need a large and secure foundation up under it to support it. Paul knew this too in writing this part of the letter. Because when it comes to establishing a church, it needs to be on a solid foundation. If you're going to start a movement that is going to sweep over the world, the entire world, and affect millions of people, you need something you can build upon. A colossal idea, something never seen before, something huge. And I think about life in general right now, especially I look out here and I see younger faces, for the most part, which is kind of unique this morning. Charlotte, I'm sorry. But you're going to lay foundations down in your life right now that are going to carry you for the rest of your life. You're going to be thinking about things and you're going to start doing things, patterns in your life that are going to stick with you for eternity, good and bad. Ask anyone who's older, and they can tell you things that they learned they wish they never had learned, but they've stuck in it now. Just like when you tied your shoe for the first time, you will tie your shoe that way for the rest of your life. You learn something, good or bad, it sticks with you. Eating habits, whatever it is. But the way you live your life is also foundation. There's thoughts that you're going to have. There's actions that you're going to do now as a young person. The way that you take a test, how you study for it, is how you're going to take tests when you go to work. you're going to act that way. You're going to approach it in the same way. The way that you get up in the morning and you go to work and how you prepare yourself for school is how you're going to be in the workplace. There's so many things on how you treat your neighbor now as a young person, how you look at them, how you view them. It's how you're going to view them 40 years is going to be even worse. I mean, just think about some of the things that you do that you learn. If you don't learn it right off the bat in the right way, that you'll struggle with those things for the rest of your life. They're foundational things that have to take place. And I can't think of anything more important than what you establish your foundation in. It's so important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is building an idea. He is laying down a foundation that will drive the church forward and hopefully unite it. He's been carefully teaching doctrinal thoughts that are crucial to the church's development. Paul is addressing the role of leadership in the church, and that's mainly what these passages are about. But there are principles that we can extract from them. You can pull them out for our everyday life. Because face it, all of us lead in some way. All of us are leaders. You used to tell me that all the time, and I used to look around me and say, oh, they're not true. But I realize we're all leaders in some way. And it doesn't matter how old you are, what your gender is. There are people around you that you influence. And it doesn't matter your age. I say that because even little kids influence people around them. If you have a toddler, you're influenced by him. And he doesn't know it yet. He doesn't realize it. But you know it. If you just stop and think about it, you adjust your life to him or her. You're influenced by them. And if we look at leadership and leading is taking that influence and leading them to accomplish something, leading them to a goal, leading them to be somewhere, to be something. So all of us have this influence to some varying degrees. As a church, we are part of the body of Christ. We are part of the living temple of God. God no longer resides in a physical temple or in a tent like he did in the Old Testament. God now dwells within the body of believers. Each one of you, if you've professed Christ, God is in you. You have become part of the temple. And it's not restricted to a little place anymore. Think about this for a moment. The temple now is mobile. And it goes everywhere. You can go to the darkest places of Africa or Asia. Places that nobody can reach, the Middle East. The temple of God can be there. The temple can be right next door. You can minister to your neighbors. People would never even think of thinking of God. All of a sudden, the temple is living right next door to them as a Christian moves in. Just think about that, and you're part of that temple. He dwells inside us. First Peter says this, come into him, a living stone rejected by men. And Peter's right here is talking about Jesus, but chosen and valuable to God. You yourselves as living stones are being built into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's who you are. A royal priesthood. I know we don't like to think about that because that kind of shifts responsibility onto us, doesn't it? That's who you are. You're part of something that is big. And how you lay a foundation is going to be important. The church has to be established and built upon a solid foundation. And so as we look at this passage, just learn what that solid foundation has to be. Paul starts this chapter by telling the church, and you can just start at the beginning of chapter 3. Paul starts by telling the church they need to grow up. Remember, this is the immature church. They were still living like babes in Christ, and he's telling them, grow up. Look beyond your own wants, who they want to follow. Look at the big picture. Have the big idea, Paul is telling them. Because there is something more at stake here than just my preference. What's at stake is the church's ability to share Christ with others. If we're so focused on what we want, Paul is telling them, we will lose the opportunity to share Christ with others because we're looking inward instead of looking outward. Christ has to be what is taught, what is projected by the church. We're to share Christ with others. That is the whole purpose of the church. Last week, we looked at how he started down these thoughts in verses 5 through 11 by reminding the Corinthians that Apollos and he, who Apollos was another teacher with Paul in the church, that they were both servants of the gospel. They were fulfilling roles that God had called them to. Paul says, I planted and Apollos watered. But both of them, but both of them have the same goal. Both of them want to see the church grow, want to see its members grow in Christ. In verses 7 and 8, Paul reminds the church, neither Paul or Apollos can make anything grow. Can make anything grow. But it is God who causes the growth. Both are accountable for the way that they fulfill their roles, but everything belongs to God. And this is where we pick up this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 9 through 11, which says this. For we are God's co-workers. We are God's field, God's building. According to God's grace that he's given to me, I have laid down a foundation as a skilled master builder. And another one builds upon it. But each must be careful on how he builds on it. For no one can lay any other foundation than that has been laid down. That foundation is Jesus Christ. First and foremost, we have to realize everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. God does the building. God does the planting and the growing. We are God's co-workers. We are his co-workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. You have to grasp this first before you can go any further in this chapter. If you can't grasp that it is God who does all the work and that you are a part of it, that you don't do it, God does it. You have to grasp that thought. God works through you as a co-worker, but don't think you did it. God does it through you. He enables you. He guides you. He empowers you. He qualifies you. It is all of God. We have to humbly accept this and work with God as he moves in us. And it's about having the humility of understanding that. Let us think about this. This church does not grow on our effort. It grows as we follow God and his will. It grows and influences others to know Christ for the glory of God because of God. So let's build on this thought as we start to look further down the text, especially at verse 10. Paul has made his case that everything belongs to God. And he supports this thought by saying this important phrase, according to God's grace. According to God's grace. We ended last week's sermon by touching upon this incredible thought of God's grace. It's more than just something we don't deserve, getting something we don't deserve. But I kind of see it myself as a space in which we live and work in ministry. Everything we do is by God's grace. You got up this morning by God's grace. I think about the lady I met, the little girl teenager. Grace in the back. Okay, there you are. And why I love the name Grace. Listen to this about grace. This morning you got up by God's grace. You got dressed by God's grace. You drove safely here by God's grace. You got here. And I had Jacob driving me. So that's like double grace. You took in the beauty of a beautiful morning. This spring morning is so beautiful. The flowers are blooming. Everything out there is just amazing. Just look at all the colors. It's all by God's grace that you can see that. And then he puts that all out there for you to see. The very breath you just took is by God's grace. Because he doesn't have to give you the next one. And he does. You don't deserve anything, any of those things. And yet God allows these things to happen because of his incredible love for us. He just shows and showers us with his grace. In fact, right now, the sun is shining on people all over the state of California, and they're loving it. They're planting gardens. They're swimming. They're biking. They're doing whatever they want. They can just sit out in the sun. And it's all by the grace of God. Even people who will never even acknowledge him or say thank you, he still showers them with his grace. Paul calls himself a skilled worker because of grace. And I thought about this because you think about Paul was raised to be a Pharisee. His dad was an educated man. He made sure Paul was an educated man. He went to the best schools. He was under the best teachers. He was on the way to be the Pharisees of the Pharisees, he says. There was going to be nobody higher in the Jewish tradition than Paul. Yet he says God called and equipped him to plant churches and to write scripture that would be foundational for the church forever. And Paul knows it because he says this. Think about this statement he says in Galatians. But when God, who from my birth set me apart, called me by his grace. He never once said, I went to all the schools. He could have easily said that. No, he recognized it immediately that he went those places and learned those things because of God's grace and that God was going to use them for something he didn't even understand. He was saved, he says in 2 Timothy. He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. He's a skilled worker, trained and focused on laying a sure foundation, which was the church that can be built upon. Listen to Paul's word in Ephesians 3, 7 through 9. I was made a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace. and it was given to me by the working of his power. This grace was given to me, the last of all the saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles the incalculable riches of the Messiah, and to shed light for all about the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things. This is so God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known to the church, to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. Listen to what Paul is saying, what he is saying here. God used Paul. God is using the church. We are still here today, built upon the foundations that Paul laid all those years ago, that God built through him. And he's still using the church today to make Christ known, to make God's wisdom known to the world. For this generation, we've been called to make God known in this generation. Just think about that. We don't worry about generations past or even generations future. We, as a church, and as people established here now, God has put us on this foundation to make the wisdom of God known to the people in this generation that you're in. This is huge. This is a huge thought. And with it comes huge responsibility. Huge responsibility. Paul knows it, and he issues a warning. You can actually look at like this little part right here, this "be careful," as a warning label. I always liked warning labels, especially one like this one. If you do this incorrectly, if you lean this metal ladder up against a power line, you might experience electrical shock. That's the type of warning that Paul is putting out here. It's to let you know you have a responsibility. If you don't do it right, bad things are going to happen. Bad things will happen. And we'll look at it next week as we look at foundations that are tested, because he goes through that through the rest of the passage. So with that all in mind, knowing this huge responsibility, you're going to have influence in your life. Are you going to represent Christ in the world? You're going to build this church. You're going to help build a church. If you don't stay here, you'll go somewhere else and help build a church. If you're a Christian, you got to be a part of the body of Christ. And that church that you're a part of, the temple, the body of Christ, you will share God's wisdom with the world, to the community that you live in. You will make Christ known to people who don't know Christ. So be careful on the way that you build that, because the way you build it is going to impact the way that happens, the way that God's wisdom and the knowledge of Christ is made known by the people around you. When these people join together with you, be careful in how you raise them up. When someone joins the body, train them. Take responsibility for them. Teach them the foundations of our faith. And that foundation cannot be anything else than Jesus Christ. No one can lay any other foundation than that what has been laid down. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. Paul knows nothing will last if it is not built upon Jesus Christ and him crucified. Remember, he said he came into Corinthians, Corinth, knowing that the only thing that he needed to teach them was Christ and him crucified. And he trembled at the thought of it. But that's what they needed. It's what we need. The church would not survive if it was built upon anything else. And Paul knew this because he studied the scriptures all his life. Excuse me again. And he knew passages like this one. Isaiah 28:16 says this. Therefore the Lord God said, look, I have laid a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. The one who believes will be unshakable. The one who believes will be unshakable. The same goes for us still today as a church. We cannot build up on anything else. It cannot be built up on Pastor Steve or a program or even a denomination. It has to be built upon Christ and Christ alone. If you want this church to be an influence in this community, if you want to share the wisdom of God with those who do not know Christ, we have to be fundamentally firm in Jesus, the tested, precious stone that is Christ. And I think about that, excuse me. This morning we had a discussion in Sunday school about how to confront somebody, or how do you live in this world where people are struggling with sin, and how do you share Christ? And usually what the answer is for the Christian, if you come across somebody who doesn't believe the same way you do, a lot of times we just say, we don't want nothing to do with you. Look at your sin, we don't want anything to do with you. Which is the wrong answer. The right answer is, I have a story for you. I have a story for you. It's about a man named Jesus. And he came and he died for your sins. He lived the perfect life you and I can never live. He was killed for our sin. He went to the cross and died in place of our sin. And he was buried and he rose again on the third day. He defeated death and sin. And because of him, we can have eternal life and we can have victory over sin in our lives. We can have that now. Not just some future ticket, it's now. Do you want to know more? How can you address somebody's sin, their lifestyle, whatever, if they don't know who Christ is? They have no idea. Because if we just confront them and say, you're a sinner, get away from me, I can never share Christ with that person. Because I've just shut the door on them. And that's not what we're supposed to be. Where the foundation is Christ and we share Christ with others. So what is your foundations? What is your foundation that you are living upon? Others are watching you, seeing how you will react to something. I remember being in the Air Force, everybody used to watch to see how I handled pressure. When things got rough, they wanted to, what's Sergeant Simpson saying? They'd all look at me. They wanted me to curse and act just like them. And I would just smile, or because I knew they were watching me. I knew it. And you know how I knew it? Because when I did react, when I said a curse word or something, they would all point to me. Oh, look at the Christian boy saying a bad word. When they say them all the time, all I had to do is slip up once and they knew it. People are watching, seeing how you live your life, what you say and how you say it, what happens to you when life gets hard. They're watching. They want to see how you react. Are you standing on a sure, time-tested, secure foundation? Is your foundation unshakable? Are you building your life on something that is worthwhile and has purpose? The young generation coming up, especially, because I see a phone pointed at me. I know he's recording me. Kevin, think about video games and TV and how insatiable appetite to be entertained. That's a foundation. You drive down the road at your stop sign. If you're there, you get bored, you start to look at your phone. Who's texting you? Who's on Facebook? What's going on? Video. Anything. What's the baseball score? I mean, there are all kinds of things. We're obsessed with that. That's a foundation that you're laying. And do you want to base your life upon that foundation? Because I can tell you, playing video games and being all entertained is not going to get you work. It's not going to get you ahead. It's going to put you behind. I'm not saying you can't do those things, but what's the place that they have in your life? And we have to all learn those things because they're foundational. You're establishing how you're going to live your life. Are you securing your family on a foundation that will stay with them through the next generation? And now I'm speaking to dads and moms and grandparents. Are you teaching your kids foundational things that will carry them to the next generation? Because we're going to pass on, and they're going to step up, and they're going to have to train their kids to take it on to the next generation. Are we laying foundations down for our children that will last them for the next generation? What are you building your life on? And look around you. All you have to do is just look around you. We are living in a time of such uncertainty. So much uncertainty. Because I look at it, we have laid down some very shaky foundations as a culture for the last 40 years. Selfish foundations, emotional foundations, ideological foundations. We have been allowing this, knowing that in the past all of these have failed, these foundations have crumbled time and time over. We've seen it. We know our history. We've seen it, but somehow we arrogantly stand here and think that if we do it, it will stand. And the cost is going to be horrific. We're already seeing it. It's coming. There has never been a time in our history where the world needs a firm foundation, and that foundation needs to be Christ. I am convinced more now than ever that if we're going to change the world around us, it is not going to happen by political means. I'm convinced of that. The only way we're going to make a change to the world around us is by living out the gospel, by sharing the gospel with others, by making Jesus Christ the foundations of our lives and encouraging others to do the same. We cannot put our trust in politicians or ideas, but we have to put our trust in the time-tested Lord Jesus Christ. He is the solid and tested. He is unshakable. I don't know where you are in your life, but just think about what I'm saying. And I would hope that you put your trust in Christ. Stop trying to fix yourself. You can't do it. Allow Christ to come into your life and fix you from the inside out. Put your life in the hands of the Master. Let's build something together here in this group right here, right now. Let's build something together on Christ. Let's help each other grow in Christ. Let's water each other, encourage each other. Let us all help each other grow in Christ. Let's honor Christ with our lives, and let's share that with others. Let's build a church here in Rockland where Christ is the foundation on which we build the church God has given us. Let's be the church where people say Christ lives there. Christ is the foundation of that church. You can feel it when you go there. You know it when you meet someone from that church. Christ is in them. There's something different about that person from that church. I want that. I want that. Show me Christ. That's the kind of people we want to be in this church. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, I just pray as we examine our lives right now, Lord, that you just open up our hearts to you and we would just examine ourselves in light of who you are as who we are in Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us just examine the foundations that we've laid. And Lord, if they're of no use to you, I pray that you'd help us tear them down and build a new foundation upon Christ. I pray for the young people here, Lord, that are laying foundations down in their lives, Lord, that you would cause them to pause and think about their lives and the way that they live them. And that you would help them secure a sure foundation in Christ. Help us as a church to help them build that foundation now. And I pray for this generation, Lord, that you would give them the strength to stand on Christ, that you give them the strength and the resolve to make Christ known in their lives. I pray for this church now, Lord. I pray that Christ would be the foundation of this church, that we would be people of Christ, and that others would see Christ in us. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here right now, Lord, that doesn't know who Jesus Christ is, as we sing this morning, I pray that they would step out and lay a foundation upon Christ. Let that happen this morning, Lord. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. And if you've never put your faith in Christ, this is the morning that you lay a foundation. And I pray, as you look at that, you would lay a foundation upon Jesus Christ. That you wouldn't hesitate, but to come down and pray with me to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. To lay that foundation right now. In fact, while we're standing here, and just bow your heads with me. Because I know how hard it is just to step out and admit this, especially in our culture. But if you're just standing there right now and you've never put your faith in Christ, just pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've fallen short of your glory and your love. And I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for my sins. Lord, I commit my life to you. Lord, I repent of my sins and I turn to you and I give you my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.